Hey, this is Mike Bobbitt. I'm a guy who used to make things, and sometimes I still do. These days, I prefer making podcasts, and I have a new one called Soundtrack to My Life. On this podcast, I talk to different creative people about the music that shaped them. Sometimes the conversations are funny, and sometimes they're just kind of sweet.
I love that Pina Colada song. Yeah, I do.
Rihanna has had a huge impact on my songwriting.
I'm diving into the ocean, finding that one fish that has the toxins, and I'm just drinking those toxins all day.
Maybe they're saying, like, you should now go forth and rock. It's like a peace be with you situation.
I also have a playlist called F-Jams. One in. Just in case.
We dance to a jazz version of My Favorite Things.
Soundtrack to My Life. It's available exclusive on Spotify. It's a exclusive. I'm going to try to make that word take off. It's a music plus talk show, meaning I can play songs in their entirety. So think of this as an interactive playlist with some of the coolest creative people I know, and you should know too. Soundtrack to My Life, a Spotify exclusive.
Welcome back to Great Lakes Confidential with Angie and Marty.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Yourself?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby.
Oh, yeah.
It's November. What is today?
The 18th?
Yes. Today is November 18th as we're recording, and it feels very warm out for November 18th in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I live on the second floor, and I'm pretty sure that the 80-year-old woman below me has her heat cranked up because it is so hot up here. I have the windows open. Yeah, it's crazy. And like, I love this because I don't love snow, but at the same time, okay. It's like, this could potentially not be a great thing. This global warming and climate change and all this stuff.
Oh, so, you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to snow. I want snow. We haven't seen snow in years, it feels like.
It does feel like a long time. We didn't have a white Christmas last year, did we?
No, we didn't have a white anything last year.
We did have a couple snowstorms, because I do remember driving home. It must have been the beginning of this year, but I do remember driving home from work and it taking something like an hour and 15 minutes where it should have taken me 25 to get home.
Yeah, we one or two spells, but it's not like it even really stuck around.
No, it's crazy.
You know, it wasn't like I kind of waited all year for the snow to cover up the leaves in my yard. Because, I'm on the you clean that stuff up in spring tip that they were just on the news. Like the head guy in the state was like, hey, yeah, wait till spring.
Yeah.
So, something to tell the neighbor behind me.
It's better it's better for the little critters, isn't it?
Yeah, but he doesn't care about little critters. He's got three big dogs.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, anyways, so welcome to Climate Change in Michigan with Angie and Marty.
Hey, it's terrible. Goodbye. Talk to you next week.
See ya. So, actually, even though it's no longer technically spooky season, which everybody knows it's always spooky season as far as I'm concerned, we're going to talk about haunted hotels in Michigan today.
Ooh.
So, there's a bunch of them, but I snatched up a couple of them and figured this is a good starting point. But first, I think that we should talk about, there's different types of hauntings, which I wasn't aware that they were, categorized.
Are we talking, Ghostbusters categories here?
I don't know. What are the Ghostbusters categories?
I don't know. I just thought they had them.
They might. There's a
floating torso, whatever.
Floating torso.
It's been a long time since I've seen the movie.
Yeah, same. So there's a website called Haunted Orange County, and there's, according to their website, there's 6 different types of hauntings.
Okay.
So to start with, there's residual haunting, which residual haunting activity can occur when something traumatic or stressful occurs, such as a murder or a rape. Negative energy is blasted into the atmosphere, causing it to imprint or record the events. The entities involved in this residual haunting activity are unaware of their surroundings. This is not an intelligent haunting. There is no interaction between you and the entity. Residual haunting can also be caused by positive energy blasted in the atmosphere. Many times...
Yeah, let's get some positive residual haunting.
Right. Many times you've heard ghost stories where people can hear the sounds of a party. They hear music, singing, dancing, laughter, and when they enter the room, there is no one there. Residual hauntings can be the specters of living beings. So it seems like residual hauntings are going to be more like the things that you hear as opposed to what you see.
Yeah.
But it can be...
Just the energy in the area, good or bad.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to say. But it can be negative or positive.
I'm catching a bad vibe, yeah.
Yeah.
This place creeps me.
Yeah. Hmm. That's a good. I wonder if that's what I'm feeling when I feel like, because I've been into places that they consider are haunted, and I'm just like, I get a weird vibe in here. I wonder if that's considered a residual haunting then.
Probably, yeah.
Kind of sounds.
I mean,
like
unless you saw a specter or a floating torso.
I never have. I've never seen
Stage 5 floating torso. I don't know. Just making stuff up now.
Next would be poltergeist activity. Poltergeist.
Oh, that's not good.
It's from a German word meaning noise spirits. Reports of poltergeist date back to ancient Roman times. The activity will start off with knocks and bangs, furniture moving by itself. Then the activity will become more intense, manifesting itself through voices and even the appearance of full apparitions. Most of the time, in the case of the poltergeist, the haunting circles around a female in her teen years. Some of these...
That's got to be the worst, right?
Yeah. I thought it was just puberty. I didn't realize it was a poltergeist. Some of these cases seem to be caused by the female unknowingly controlling the energy around herself. When it is not the teenager that is manifesting activity, there are usually several spirits in the area. The spirits appear to pool their energy together in order to become strong enough to move larger objects and make more noise.
That's how Salem went down, right? Bunch of teenage girls, bad energies.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, hey, they're all witches.
That's crazy. And there are a lot of haunted movies and shows that... whenever there's a poltergeist, like there's a show called Evil that I watch. I think it's on Paramount Plus, but it's super, super good. And now that I'm like thinking about it, a lot of times when they have what they consider to be poltergeist activity, it is a teenage girl. So, the things you learn.
Yeah.
The third is demonic activity. Demons are entities that never had a mortal human form. They are described in 3 different ways. 1, as angelic, a being of beauty that will manipulate the person to commit something that is sinful or out of the ordinary. 2, horrific or evil looking. Some people claim they have seen demons that are incredibly hideous to look at. Or 3, a black mist, black fog, black shadow, or black smoke. In most demonic hauntings, the occupants claim to be followed by black mist or black fog. Yeah.
That sounds like my favorite so far.
Yeah, you like the demonic ones?
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds, you know, like oh, yeah? Well, I'm demonically haunted. My place.
Next is...
Beautiful spirit of black fog.
Next is intelligent or interactive activity. When our mortal form dies, the aura that constantly surrounds our bodies leaves our bodies. Now, this is really crazy.
This sounds helpful.
We lose 6 ounces on the instance of death.
That's a saying. Yeah, that's what they say.
Is that energy leaving our body? This energy, aura, or some may even call it your soul, is carrying the information of what we used to be. If it can do this, then why couldn't it also carry our intelligence? If it can carry our former intelligence of our previous life, then it should be able to interact with us intelligently. When we see this aura, we call it a ghost. If this ghost is able to interact with us, is aware of us, can touch us, can communicate with us, then this is an intelligent or interactive haunting.
Man, I need someone very smart to peacefully pass away in my home. Preferably a good cook. Someone who likes to clean.
Do you think that they carry all of that with them to their
I don't know.
To the past life, to the just afterlife? Just
whisper recipes in my ear?
Yeah. One cup of sugar.
Brown the meat first.
Next are shadow people or shadow creatures. This is a type of haunting that has no real explanation. They are different from ghosts. They are usually shapeless and dark masses. They can move between walls. They don't have human features. People who encounter them have a feeling of dread.
So how is that different than the demonic, though?
I don't know that it really is.
It's got limbs?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think we can probably tighten up these categories a little bit.
They probably could have, but, you know, I'm just relaying the information, man.
Right. This is, yeah, so.
Who knows? Finally,
to jump off point.
Portal hauntings. Portals are thought to be doorways to another world or dimension in which entities travel through. It's speculated that portals are not limited to one location, region, or limited to sacred ground. Typically, places that experience a wide array of different types of anomalous activity, such as glowing balls of light, odd creatures, strange shapes, or unexplained mists or fog, are suspected to have a portal in which energies are traveling back and forth. That's really interesting to me because...
The appalling lights.
Yep, exactly. You read my mind, sir.
Or the old haunted Denton Road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, I had to take a drink of water.
Oh, no problem. This is a very intense topic.
It is. It really is.
It's going to dry your mouth out. I get it.
But yeah, those all had me thinking about like different shows that we've talked about, because we've talked about different hauntings for different places, and you know, they have been different. So it's interesting to learn that there's, you know, six different kinds of haunting. And yeah. So anyways.
Well, five really, but we'll say six.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
They'll give you six.
Tomato, tomato, we'll say.
Yeah.
So now that we know more about the different types of hauntings, we'll jump into the hotels.
All right.
Drum roll, please.
Nice little place. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Located in...
your next weekend getaway.
Holly, Michigan.
Oh, the old Holly Hotel.
The Holly Hotel has been referred to as the most haunted historic building in Michigan and perhaps the most haunted in America. According to their website, the Holly Hotel seems to be one of the few active haunted hotels where occurrences continue over and over again, observed by many people from employees to guests. Visitors to the hotel claim to be able to smell cigar smoke or a strong flowery perfume.
That's just the electrical wiring in that place. Has it been rebuilt yet from its last fire that it had?
No.
Rebuilt and reopened? I've got so many... Holly Hotel stories, because they had a comedy club in the basement that I used to perform at when I was, you know, doing more comedy. And I just remember one time there was this like lunatic guest that would like always come to shows and then always complain, like would always send an email to the owners after every show complaining about something. And I guess one time they actually complained that they thought the ghosts were sacrilegious.
Wow.
Like, I don't care for these ghosts. It's very sacrilegious to have ghosts in your hotel. And it's like, look, you're coming to a comedy club. Like, maybe stay home.
Also...
maybe you don't get the concept. Just stay home.
Yeah. Also, writing a strongly worded email to ghosts, I feel like it just kind of loses a lot of... its effect.
Right. Like, just also way to take the fun out of it all. But I just thought it was very funny that it was like, you know, can you do something about these ghosts?
Sure.
They said the GD word in my wife's ear. Talking about sacrilegious ghosts. Just, sir, those were the comics.
From thehollyhotel.com, before it was the Holly Hotel with the early name of the Hearst Hotel, Mr. Hearst was the first formal hotelier. Mr. Hearst passed away in the 1920s, but he knows he is still lord of the house. His ghost is one of the most frequent, although an actual materialization is rare. His spirit seems unable to pass on to the afterlife due to the Great Fire at the Holly Hotel in 1913, which ended his reign. He does not like noise, nor is he happy with renovations at the hotel house being made on his property.
He's not a fan of comedy either.
That might be the noise he's referring to.
Yeah, exactly. There's been enough.
We used to
gamble in that room.
If you see a man wearing a frock coat and top hat, you most likely have met Mr. Hearst. The cigar smell is the most common manifestation of Mr. Hearst. It can be soft and wafting, barely noticeable, or very strong and overpowering.
He's probably the guy who's burned it down all these years.
Probably.
Like the three subsequent times.
Yeah. Then there's the flowery perfume that is believed to be of Miss Nora Kane. Described as a petite, beautiful lady, Nora seems to be the hostess of the house. From historical accounts, Mrs. Kane had a love of music and seems to still enjoy to play a good melody now and again. Her spirit is frequently encountered and she has materialized mostly in photographs, especially at weddings held at the hotel. Her portrait is displayed in the restaurant's main lobby. Nora's most common haunting is one that appeals to your sense of smell. This may be, in fact, one of the most common hauntings in the entire house. Nora's perfume is described as a sweet, flowery scent that can be picked up in any room in the house, although the scent is most common in the turret area in the main bar.
Right where the piano is.
Yep. Nora's ghost is seen most often in the bar and back hallway, which once was the main entrance to the hotel. She is most often described as lithe and graceful, not often complete, but cutting off at about the knees. She is always wearing one of her beautiful dresses.
That's your torso. Right. I can't tell her she's right about her feet. She's got her dress. It's flowing.
As I said, Nora loved music, and she apparently carried that love into the afterlife. She has been heard playing the piano. If you hear music drifting through the house, more than likely it's Nora treating you to a song. Nora has also...
Yeah, me and Nora, we sat down and played, The Great Entertainer song.
Oh, really?
Together. No, carry on. Sorry. I derailed you. I apologize. Carry on.
Nora was also a good singer, and her soft melodies can sometimes be heard throughout the different dining rooms late at night. She has also been known to ask people standing near the piano to play a tune for her.
How about it, Sam? To tickle the ivories for old Nora. She gets a few ghost drinks in her, and she gets kind of pushy.
Doesn't it kind of make you wonder, though, like, how many times you've been to a place where you've, like, encountered a ghost but didn't know that it was a ghost?
Yeah. Like, or how many times I've gone to that place and pretended to be a ghost just to get out of my bill?
Jesus.
Where did that man go? Well, it must have been a ghost.
That's funny.
That ghost just racked up $50.
In the kitchen, whiskey is where you will find most of the most active ghosts of the Holly Hotel. The spirit may be one of two, possibly both, girls who died young. Some speculated that the spirit may be of a little girl who died after being severely injured in the livery stable and which was adjacent to the hotel. Or perhaps it's the ghost of Nora's daughter. Whoever she is, she seems rather happy and playful and has been described as being between 9 and 13 years old with red hair. The playful little ghost seems to enjoy passing her time by playing with kitchen items. In many accounts, the item she played with the most was often the meat cleaver, although the teapots and hanging utensils were also targets. This is also the ghost or ghosts who are frequently heard running up and down the hallways. Apparently, this is also the same ghost who appeared during a seance in the early 1990s. That's crazy. So, for fun fact for those that don't know, two tragic fires consumed the Holly Hotel. The first fire on January 19th, 1913, was followed by the second fire exactly 65 years apart to the day and to the hour. And then there was the third fire, which actually didn't start at the Holly Hotel. It started at the arcade and spread to the historic Holly Hotel in June of 2022.
Yeah.
The Holly Hotel is currently closed with no date on reopening or if they're going to renovate. It's pretty much just kind of I guess there's some legal disagreements between the owners and somebody. I'm not sure exactly. It's all, you know, it's kind of a mess.
It'll be open again. I mean, it's such a landmark in the area.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that part of Holly is just such a charming little place, too.
It is. It's very
cute. Battle Alley right there and all the antique stores. And I don't know if it's even still there. There used to be a Pinewood car, like a slot car racing storefront, which was just weird. You know, like you don't see that this day and age. This was probably like 15 years ago. But I always thought that was really cool that they had, you know, some old-timey fun like that.
Yeah, yeah. So in terms of like ghost encounters, have you smelled cigar smoke? Have you smelled the perfume? Have you encountered anything in all of the times that you've been there?
Honestly, every time I've been there, I've just been so in my head and just ready to get out of there.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of not the easiest place to do comedy. Not for me. Like it seemed like a lot of times, and I'm not knocking the place at all. I mean, it was a fantastic, you know, that the club was around for so long and gave so many opportunities to people, but it wasn't easy to perform there because it's like they would sell these, I don't know, the tickets were probably rather expensive because it would, you know, give you like dinner and a comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting ready to do the show and they just keep holding the show longer and longer and because people are still dining. And then, you know, they'll be like, well, you just go up and we'll just keep seating them while you're up there and all this stuff. And people would be so drunk coming down from the dinner because, you know, they just had such a good time and such a delicious meal. I mean, the food was so good there that, you know, they're having a good night out and I'm sitting here trying to work.
Yeah.
You know, so it was always kind of a place where I just get way too in my head that I never even, you know, notice if there were ghosts or not. Just That's people fair. Complaining about ghosts and That's... drunk people.
Oh boy. Yeah. I've been there what, once, maybe twice, and I don't remember experiencing anything, but that doesn't mean much. I mean, but it was a cool, really cool place. Beautiful inside, and it sucks that it burnt down again. But also I don't know, after the third time, like it feels like the place is cursed and maybe you shouldn't rebuild.
Yeah, or you know what, maybe I don't know, switch from table candles. I don't know.
Just, yeah.
I say go ahead and rebuild. I mean, keep that place going and you know, I hope you know, the owners stick around and keep cooking there cuz they're really, I mean, delicious food. Delicious. Yeah. Real high-end good, you know, good food.
Yeah.
Great meal you're going to have there.
Well, that's the Holly that's the hauntings of the Holly Hotel anyways. We obviously didn't get into like the history of the actual hotel, but
yeah, one time I don't know, this is slightly off topic, maybe not. I saw a ghost being made at the Holly Hotel.
Okay.
One time there was this older couple in the front row and The man was extremely inebriated, and he kept ordering drinks. And I was even on stage, and I was like, sir, you need to slow down. Like, from the stage, like, look, like, I think you should probably call it quits on the drinks tonight. You've had a few too many. Because, I mean, he was, like, you know, nodding off, falling out of his chair, just really bad shape.
Oh, no.
Anyway, end of the night, yeah, I'm leaving the club, and I walk out the front door. This man is lying like a starfish in the middle of Battle Alley, with like a puddle of blood under his head.
Oh my God.
And his wife standing over him, just, you know, screaming for help and bawling. And I look, and this is horrible. This is maybe, you know, the PG-13 part. Yeah. I told you the story, didn't I?
I remember this.
I looked, yeah. And the man had an erection from the head injury.
Mm. So
apparently that's a thing.
Yeah.
If you can take
a
head injury the right way, you can have a spontaneous erection.
Yeah.
This poor guy was laying there with an erection.
And
I started laughing, and I made eye contact with his wife while I was laughing. I felt so bad. I felt terrible about it, but luckily there was an EMS at the show. So he was able to help out right away. And from what I understand, like the owner told me they were, when I pulled up the next day and the owner was out there with pitchers of Coke to try to clean the blood off the street like the cops would do.
Oh my God.
She told me that they actually contacted the hotel and let everyone know that they were okay. So.
Oh, that's good. Wow. Yeah.
But that was an eye opener.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be for anybody.
I mean, they talk about the ghost with no feet, but they don't talk about that ghost. Anyway, sorry. Sorry to derail the show. If you have kids listening, I apologize for all that talk.
All right. So moving on. have you ever heard of the National House Inn in Marshall?
No.
Yeah, I've never heard of it either, but it's the oldest hotel in the state of Michigan, serving weary Midwesterners for almost 200 years.
Okay.
That's a long time. So the most well-known ghost story from the National House Inn is the report of the Lady in Red. She's not reported to stick around in the same area. She's more of a wanderer. Many who have seen her report her apparition walking the halls. Others have spotted her telltale red figure through windows from outside of the inn. Nobody knows who the Lady in Red is, but there are theories. Some figure she is the ghost of an old apartment resident. Others think she is the specter of someone who died in a train accident when the inn was a rail lodge, but nothing has been proven.
Yeah.
There's another ghost story from National House Inn that doesn't have an origin story. Some think it's the Lady in Red, but others believe it's a much fussier phantom. There is said to be a room at the inn where the spirits always want the door closed. Some report that the room moves around as if following the spirit from room to room, while others claim it is always the same room. So it sounds like they're going from one room to another, closing all the doors, but there's some discrepancies there. Another room at the inn is said to be haunted, this one by a male spirit. The Charles Dickey Room, as it is called today, is reportedly home to a ghost who doesn't like sharing spaces. The ghost in the room will supposedly knock pictures off the wall when guests he doesn't like are staying in the room. Additionally,
that's probably the ghost shutting the doors.
Yeah. Additionally, guests in the room have reported odd and vivid nightmares. This particular room also smells of old cigar smoke. I want to know more about those vivid nightmares, personally. Like,
yeah,
what's that about?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a few of my own, but never in a ghost-soaked room, as far as I know.
Yeah. Fun fact about the National House Inn, it was once a stop on the Underground Railroad.
Oh.
The National House Inn is open Monday through Saturday evenings and is closed on Sundays after checkout at 11 o'clock.
Okay, so it's still a functioning hotel.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Sure is.
Well, I, along with many listeners, will have to Google that.
Yeah. Sounds like a good place to go.
Yeah, I mean, something fun to do. You're in Marshall, right? You're gonna go to the Magic Museum. You're gonna eat at Schuller's, right? You're gonna go stop at the spend the night at the hotel there, the haunted hotel.
Wouldn't it be awesome if the haunted hotel was haunted by magician ghosts?
That would be cool. Who just pulled a penny out of my ear? Is this your card?
That'd be amazing.
That would be cool. Well, I imagine. I wonder if that graveyard is. Well, I mean, that haunted graveyard is a totally different show. So maybe I wanted to bring it up. But that magic graveyard in Colon.
Yeah.
Right there near Marshall on the map, Colon. There's a graveyard filled with a bunch of dead magicians.
Yeah, there is. I've been
there. Stage magicians, not the Harry Potter types. Yeah, you've been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like sorcerers, but like, you know, showmen.
Yeah.
And women.
Showmen and women. Showmen,
showwomen.
Cemetery is actually pretty big for, I don't know, I guess, I don't know. You don't think that there's that many magicians in the world, but really there is, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, most of them are in Vegas, though.
That's probably true.
They just come to Colon to die. Bring me the bones of Harry Blackstone. I'm operating on such a little sleep right now.
I can tell.
Oh.
Well, the last place we're going to stop is a haunted bed and breakfast in Kalamazoo that we actually talked about briefly on season 1, episode 24, about Michigan castles. Mm-hmm. It is said that someone is always awake at the Henderson Castle. Ooh. Oh. Frank Henderson built the Henderson Castle in 1895. Just a short 4 years later, he passed away, but it is believed he and his wife Mary still linger about. Mary's old bedroom is said to have had the most paranormal activity out of all the rooms in the castle because the doors would often open and close on their... I hope you're going to bed immediately after this is done.
Probably. I might be asleep before we're done with the show.
Mary's old bedroom is said to have had the most paranormal activity out of all the rooms in the castle because the doors would often open and close on their own. The current owner of the hotel believes she was looking for old gems of hers because when they were found, she stopped looking and the activity slowed down considerably. That is bananas.
Wow, that's weird.
Isn't that crazy?
Made me think of American Horror Story Season 1. Where's my baby? Oh. That ghost that just keeps looking for her baby.
Oh, yeah. I forgot she was a ghost.
Yeah, but I always just think of every old-timey ghost is like that.
That's, yeah.
Whatever that actress's name is.
I can't remember, but I know who you're talking about. Another woman may also haunt the Henderson Castle. The Lady in White first made herself known in 1990 when a director from Kalamazoo College came to take photos. The Lady in White appeared in a photo taken of a man playing the piano. She appears to be turning the page of his music.
Oh.
A psychic medium who came to visit the castle said there's also a six-year-old girl named Christine who still lingers. From a news story that I read, quote, she was on the scaffold playing and trying to write her name on the top of the beam here with some stain in her finger, as you can see. And Frank sees her and keeps telling her not to play on the walk side, the owner said, adding the little girl was startled, fell to the ground, broke her neck, and passed away. He said He said he tried sanding the beam and repainting it many times, but like the little girl's spirit, it remains. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's sad, yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact about the castle, it is located across the street from a cemetery. So maybe that's why it's haunted.
Yeah, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
I don't like child ghosts. Mm-mm. I just feel bad.
Yeah, that's just too much.
Yeah, it's just too sad.
Yeah.
No matter how helpful they try to be in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's just too sad.
The Henderson Castle is open to the public 7 days a week. So here's some honorable mentions just because there's not a lot of information about them being haunted. Like I didn't do a deep dive, but the Fort Shelby Doubletree Suites Hotel, built in 1916 as the Fort Shelby Hotel. The story is that a homeless man named Al lived in the hotel after it went out of business, and he drowned in the basement when a pipe burst. His bones were recovered during renovations. Guests and the hotel workers claimed to see the man walking the halls and lobby on a regular basis.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The Ritz-Carlton, it's Ritz-Carlton, it's the Henry Hotel, but it's owned by Ritz-Carlton. That's in Dearborn. Room 418 in this hotel is said to be haunted. The doors open and close on their own. The lights turn on and off unexpectedly, and the handles on the French doors jiggle after you close them.
Okay.
And then there's the Two-Way Inn, built in 1876 and formerly an inn, brothel, general store, and old jail, is now a bar. The past and present owners all report seeing a cowboy wandering around, said to be the original owner, Philetus Norris.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So where's that at, the Two-Way Inn?
I don't remember, and I didn't put it in here.
All right.
I can Google it real quick. Yeah.
Well, the Whitney in Detroit, that was never a hotel, was it? The Whitney, I think it was just a house converted into a restaurant. That's supposedly haunted.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a hotel.
It's not. It wasn't on the list of haunted hotels.
I got one that's not on the list.
What's that?
Mission Point Resort in Mackinac Island. I heard there's a ghost that wanders around, and I had a friend of mine had an encounter with said ghost while she was on vacation with her husband and child. Just this creepy man got in her face and started yelling at her, and when she turned around, like, he was gone and nobody in her family saw him.
What?
Yeah.
See?
And then she was like, yeah. And then she was like, yeah, and apparently, you know, found out later there's a ghost up there, and that was probably him.
That's crazy. That's...
So, yeah.
Wow. Well, Mackinac Island is supposed to be, like, super, super haunted.
Yeah, you think?
Like the whole island. I mean, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But luckily, they're the helpful types. I like fudge. They generally... But it turns out that the fudge just placates ghosts. The smell of fudge just kind of... The smell of fudge and horse poop just covers up the cigar smell.
Oh, yeah.
And the perfume.
Yeah.
So you don't even notice the ghost because you just smell of horse poop. And if you're lucky, the fudge. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're lucky. Yeah.
Right. If you catch the wind just right, coming off the lake right there, coming off the straits.
So the two-way
when
in
the
is...
wind catches Ribas just right.
The two-way
covers
in
covers up that horse poop.
Is actually in Detroit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's got to be the same one because it says it's now a bar and there's this old-timey photo on here. But let's see. Yep, 1876. Yep, that's the one. It's on Mount Elliott Street.
Okay.
So Mount Elliott Street, it looks like it's by Mound and the expressway.
Yeah.
Five Points and Beach Daily. No, wait, that's where I live.
What? Yeah, what? I was about to say, like, that's Redford. Speaking of Redford, there's a new haunted motel in Redford as of, like, last week. The old Traveler's Motel on Telegraph between Plymouth and Chicago had a little shooting.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Sorry, they're not sponsors, so I feel
we
could talk about them.
So this is off Mound and...
Mount Elliott?
Yeah. It's between Mound and Van Dyke.
There's a big cemetery over there, isn't there?
I don't know. Is there?
I don't know. That's kind of side of town I don't really get to too often.
Yeah, that's way out there. Huh. That's
crazy.
For
us West Siders.
That's crazy. So those are a couple of the haunted hotels in Michigan.
All right.
So we can both say we've been to one. Well, I've been to the Henry. Have you been to the Henry?
No.
Okay. I haven't stayed the night there, but I've been there for like work events. We'll go.
Yeah.
There'll be different.
I did some graphic design for something going on there once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Maybe somebody's wedding or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I've gone to like galas and different things there, but I've never stayed
functions.
There. Yeah, different functions, but I've never stayed there. Mm-hmm. So I've been to the Holly Hotel and the Henry, Hotel.
The Holly and the Henry.
The Holly and the Henry.
Sitting in a tree. yeah. So I guess like listeners, if you know of any haunted hotels that we missed, or you know, even ones that had shootings in them, I guess.
My God.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to sleep.
I'd like to know if anybody's had any ghost encounters at a hotel in Michigan.
Yeah, definitely let us know.
For sure. That'd be really interesting to find out. Especially if it's one of the places that we've already talked about today. If you've ever been to one of them and one of those locations and you've experienced some sort of weird paranormal activity, you should probably send us an email and let us know. And you can do that by emailing greatlakesconfidential@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You can also check us out on Facebook, Great Lakes Confidential. That's simple enough. Mm-hmm. And you can leave us comments on there and you can chat with our other listeners. And yeah, we'd like to hear your stories. So
yeah, have a blast. Send us reels.
Yeah.
No,
send us videos, send us
whatever.
Send us whatever you want to send us. I'm cool.
Yeah, let's plan a ghost hunt.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's plan an outing.
That, you know what? That might be fun. Maybe like next spooky season we do a Great Lakes Confidential ghost hunt.
Ooh.
I can get a hold of some ghost hunters.
I would love to do that. That would be super rad.
Yeah.
Let's.
I guess listeners, let us know if you'd be interested in something like that, and where you might want us to go.
Yeah, yeah, that would be awesome. It's, I don't even know what to say about it.
Yeah, make it a statewide affair, right?
Heck
well,
yeah,
we got a year to think about it.
That's true.
11 months. 11 months to think about it.
That's awesome.
Well, maybe we just go to the DMC on Halloween and try to contact the ghost of Harry Houdini.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot. No, I think somebody already tried that. You got to get into the children's hospital and bring in a Ouija board and a camera crew. Like, they're just, yeah.
Oh, that sounds sketchy.
They're not going to. Right. They're going to be like, look, get out.
Yeah.
Get out, you dilettante. Out.
All
right. Besides, there's no ghost of Harry Houdini here. He is the world's greatest escape artist. He's escaped a long time ago.
Oh, my God.
It is silly to think that his ghost would be in one place since he was such a good escape artist.
Well, I think it's silly to think. I mean, I don't know. I guess ghosts are, like, tethered to where they're at. I don't know. Like, how come some ghosts can travel and some ghosts can't?
Yeah, and I mean, he's not even buried around here. He's buried in New York City. Like, he's buried, like, in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Or Long Island somewhere.
And, like, if I was to have a seance in my apartment.
Queens. I think he's buried in Queens.
If I had a seance in my apartment in Detroit to, like, talk to my grandpa, who's dead in Flint somewhere, like, would he travel here to talk to us?
Yeah, I mean, that's the weird thing. Who knows? I guess it depends on if there's a portal in your house, right?
Oh.
I don't know how any of it works.
I don't either. If anybody knows how any of this works, let us know.
I tend to think if you've got a loved one and they got something to say to you, they'll visit you in your dream.
Yeah, that's true, too. But, like, yeah. Yeah, if anybody knows anything about this stuff, I'd like to know. Like, seriously, I'm genuinely curious about this. I don't understand how this works. I don't know if anybody else really fully understands it. But if you do, please let me know.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think we're going to head out.
Until then.
Because Marty's slap happy and he needs some rest.
Yeah. Good night, my friend.
Rest of you, stay safe out there. Watch for deer, especially during hunting season. You got to be very, very careful out there. And we'll text us when you get home, and we'll chat at you next week.
See ya.
Bye.